Father God, we just look forward to what it is you want to speak to us. We just thank you for your word. We thank you for the time and energy that Dave's put into this. We just pray that you'd bless him, Lord, that you just fill him with your life, with your Holy Spirit, Lord, that he would just enjoy the next 30 minutes, Lord, being able to share with us what you've put on his heart. And we just look forward to what it is you have for us. Just pray that you would bless Dave now as he preaches. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, me? Great. Well, good morning, everybody. This summer, I had my wife and I and Andrew and Rochelle, we had the opportunity to go to a family camp at a little Salt and Light church in Alberta. It's in a little tiny community called Alhambra near Rocky Mountain House, and we were invited to go and lead worship. But it was an incredible blessing to us. The speaker they had invited, his name was Art Good, and some of you may have heard him share before. He shared, it's interesting, some of the scriptures we've heard this morning really tie in with some of the things he shared and that I want to kind of take and share with you this morning as well. It's interesting, Art opened the service this morning with just a simple command: love the Lord your God with all your heart and love your neighbor as yourself. And Art Good, at the camp we were at, that was his theme: loving God and loving your neighbor. And one of the very simple things he said, and that I want to use as my framework this morning, was simply this: that God, excuse the grammar, this isn't quite perfect grammar, but God is the blesser. He's the one who blesses. We are blessed, and the reason that we are blessed is so that we can be a blessing to others. God is the blesser. We are blessed to be a blessing. It's very simple. But let's just start by talking a little bit about God as the blesser. It seems obvious, but do we really grasp how great of a giver and blesser God is to us? Bryn read one of the scriptures I want to use this morning from Ephesians, where Paul is praying for the Ephesians. And throughout the book of Ephesians, two or three times he says, I pray that your eyes would be opened and that you would somehow grasp how great God's love is for you, how wide and deep and high. I think he prays that for a reason, because we only really understand a tiny bit of how great God's blessings are toward us. And one of the reasons is that God is so different from us. We are used to giving and receiving, but giving a lot of the times with strings attached. Outside of Christ's love, it's hard for us to just give expecting nothing in return. If I give you a birthday present and then my birthday comes and you forget, I really feel a little bit offended by that. And even when I do something nice for someone, if they don't say thank you, I feel a little bit disappointed because I'm still expecting that little thing in return. But God is not like that. In Acts 17:24, I'm just going to read that scripture. Paul is speaking to the men of Athens, and he says something amazing about God. He talks about how God gives to all of us life and breath and all things, but God doesn't need anything. He doesn't need anything back from us. He's totally self-sufficient. I'll just read that scripture, Acts 17:24. The God who made the world and everything in it is the Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in temples built by hands, and he is not served by human hands as if he needed anything, because he himself gives all men life and breath and everything else. So God is different from us. He has this infinite, inexhaustible supply, infinite riches, and he gives, expecting nothing in return. Of course, he desires our love and our worship and our devotion in return. But we can actually never pay him back for his gifts and blessings. And God doesn't pose that condition: I will bless you if you do X, Y, and Z. He freely gives his blessings toward us. I pray along with Paul that all of us this morning would receive a greater revelation of this infinite, blessing, giving, loving God. He values us and He wants only the very best and highest good for us, so much that He was willing to sacrifice His Son. Going back to those verses I read, Paul was in the midst of the people of Athens, and before that scripture it says he wandered through the city and was astounded at the number of idols in the city. And these people he was speaking to were used to pagan gods and pagan idols. And these gods were demanding and fickle gods. They felt that if they didn't make just the right sacrifice or do just the right thing, their God might turn on them and bring them misfortune, cause them sickness or even death, or make their crops fail, or financial misfortune. These were gods that, even if you did all the right things, they might be in a bad mood that day and strike you down just because they weren't happy about something. Paul went into that city in that context and proclaimed a God who unconditionally gave out of His infinite supply. And their response was, these are strange and new ideas to us. Some of them wanted to speak more about it. Some of us maybe view God that way as well. We don't realize how freely and unconditionally God wants to bless us and give to us. And so sometimes we worry, am I doing all the right things? Or something wrong happened to me? Have I displeased God in some way? Is God angry with me? So we have a wrong concept of God. There's a cartoon, I think it was a Far Side cartoon, that had a picture, and this representation of God was of an old man with a long beard in a control room surrounded by video monitors, as if he was watching everything going on the earth. And his finger was poised over a button that said "Smite" on it. Many people have that erroneous concept of God. He's just waiting for you to take a wrong step, and He's going to hit the smite button, strike you with lightning, or something else will happen. Our God is not like that. He's the one with infinite riches, infinite power. He's the gracious and compassionate one. And again, I pray that for all of us, that the eyes of our understanding will be opened more and more to see Him as He is. Let's just read a bit of Psalm 103, just because this talks about this God who blesses and who unconditionally pours out His blessings on us. I think it's my favorite psalm. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise His holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul. Forget not all His benefits, who forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known His ways to Moses, His deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will He harbor His anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is His love for those who fear Him. And there's more. You can read on. We are the blessed. We are the recipients of these blessings. And again, we can ask that same question. Do we really grasp how great these blessings are that God pours onto us? Paul said in Acts, He gives to all men life and breath. In Matthew 5, Jesus says, He makes His rain fall on the just and the unjust. Whether we're deserving or not, God in His amazing creation is providing for us. He makes His rain fall. He makes the crops grow. He provides us with food and warmth. Materials to make shelter with, all of the things we need. But for those of us who know Jesus, the blessings go way beyond just those material provisions that God gives to us. We're partakers of blessings far beyond that. I'd like to read some of the scriptures from Ephesians, and I took these from the Message. It's a very contemporary translation by Eugene Peterson. And again, these scriptures just outline some of the blessings that we've received. Starting at the beginning of Ephesians, verse 3. How blessed is God, and what a blessing He is. He's the Father of our Master, Jesus Christ, and takes us to the high places of blessings in Him. Long before He laid down earth's foundations, He had us in mind, had settled on us as the focus of His love, to be made whole and holy by His love. Long, long ago, He decided to adopt us into His family through Jesus Christ. What pleasure He took in planning this. He wanted us to enter into the celebration of His lavish gift-giving by the hand of His beloved Son. Then going to verse 10. Because of the sacrifice of the Messiah, His blood poured out on the altar of the cross, we're a free people, free of penalties and punishment chalked up by our misdeeds. And not just barely free, either. Abundantly free. He thought of everything, provided for everything we could possibly need, letting us in on the plans He took such delight in making. He set it all out before us in Christ, a long-range plan in which everything would be brought together and summed up in Him, everything in deepest heaven and on planet Earth. It's in Christ that we find out who we are and what we are living for. Long before we first heard of Christ and got our hopes up, He had His eye on us, had designs on us for glorious living, part of the overall purpose He's working out in everything and everyone. So God has poured out the blessings of making us whole, making us part of His family by adoption, making us free of the penalty of our sin, and promising a relationship with Him that will go on to eternity. So those of us who've come to know Christ, we partake in incredible blessings, much greater than just His beautiful creation or the world around us. The passage I'm reading goes on, and in Ephesians chapter 2, we'll go to Ephesians chapter 2, verse 7, it says this: Now God has us where He wants us, with all the time in this world and the next to shower grace and kindness upon us in Christ Jesus. Saving us is all His idea and all His work. All we do is trust Him enough to let Him do it. It is God's gift from start to finish. We don't play the major role. If we did, we'd probably go around bragging that we've done the whole thing. No, we neither make nor save ourselves. God does both the making and saving. He creates each of us by Christ Jesus to join Him in the work He does, the good work He has gotten ready for us to do, work we had better be doing. I wonder if some of you recognize that scripture. It's a verse that many of us have probably memorized over the years. And New International Version, it simply says this: By grace you are saved through faith. That's not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. But it goes on to say, and this brings me to my third point, we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. All of these chapters, Paul has spent the first chapter and part of the second chapter of Ephesians outlining this amazing, giving, blessing God and the amazing blessings He's given to us. And then he comes to this point. We're His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus, to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. So not only do we receive the blessings, but like in the game, there's a responsibility to pass the gift on. And we are blessed to be a blessing. I'm going to jump back to the book of Acts, and I'll just refer to it. In the second chapter of Acts, God pours out His Holy Spirit, and the people around are watching these early disciples who are speaking in tongues and filled with the power of God. Peter stands up and begins to preach and tell them what's going on. And he says to them, this gift is for you and for your children and for all who are far off. The gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, is for me, it's for you, but it's for everybody. One thing that really impacted me on this week camp that I went to was Art Good told stories of some places in the world where a village will have its own tribal god. There might be an idol in the village somewhere, or simply a pagan god that they worship and sacrifice to. And this village believes that that god is there to bless them and nobody else. He's their own tribal god. And the tribal god may bless them or may be fickle and sometimes not bless them. But that god is for them. He challenged us. He said, are you making God into your own tribal god? When you're in your neighborhood, do you think, well, even subconsciously, those neighbors are too far gone. I don't think God is for them. He's for me and he's for people like me. He's for people that I understand and get along with. But I don't know if he's for them. Peter says, no, he's for you. He's for your children and those who are far off. The good news is for everybody. And our God is not like a pagan god, not like a small tribal god. And even though we would give lip service to that, I was challenged that sometimes I make my God into a small tribal god. He's just for me. But God challenges us. I'm not just for you and your friends and those who you understand and get along with. I'm for the neighbor who really gets on your nerves, who you don't think you relate to. I'm for the person on the street that you don't really want to get close to and touch and get to know. I'm for them just as much as I am for you. And we're part of that process. God will reach those people through us. He's blessed us to be a blessing. I'm challenged by that and was thinking, how do I move from this point where I'm enjoying God's blessing in my life? But I know that he's called me to be a blessing. The blessing is not just for me to hold on to. It's for me to pass on to someone else. The thing that came to me, first of all, just in thinking of examples of people I know who live this way, is it begins with a thankful heart. I thought, when I am recognizing God's blessings in my life, when I'm thanking him and acknowledging those blessings, somehow that opens my heart to want to share those blessings with other people. When I am receiving but kind of ignoring God's blessings, not acknowledging them, taking for granted, my mind isn't actively looking for a way of sharing those blessings. And I'm challenged to begin. I want to be a blessing to other people. Let me just start by being thankful to God. Looking for those blessings he's giving me, actively thanking him, and really appreciating what he's done. And that really opens my heart to my neighbors, to people around me. I've had a personal journey this summer of having to choose between thankfulness or complaining. I could have gone either way, and I can't say I've always made the choice of thankfulness. So a lot of you know what happened. But at the beginning of the summer, I fell from the attic next door and smashed my arm right near my elbow. And the first doctor who looked at it, he said, oh, you've broken it into 100 pieces. It's just a mess. He wasn't a really positive, encouraging doctor. I don't think he counted the pieces, but it was bad. And I was thinking, this doesn't make sense. It's the end of the school year. There's graduation. I'm moving house. The house I'm moving into has a huge list of renovations that need doing. I was planning all of the projects I was going to do to make this house nice and livable when we moved in. And now I've done this, and I've smashed my elbow, and it's not going to be working for quite a long time to come. So the scene is set for me to complain. I mean, didn't I have a good reason to complain? But on the other hand, God blessed me so much. We went to emergency, and they put me at the front of the line, none of these three-hour waits that you hear about, or four or five. I got in and got an operation right away, and that doctor said, I think I'm not happy with what I did. I'm going to refer you. And I heard later that the doctor he referred me to was one of the best in Vancouver. Very well known and very, very specialized. And God was giving me these incredible blessings, even in the midst of a misfortune. We moved into our house, and it was just a huge project to get it fixed up. But friends gathered around and rallied and just kept dropping in to paint or to move things around. And incredible gifts of time and help that our friends gave. And again, I just had so many reasons to be thankful rather than to complain. So God was really challenging me with how much He was blessing me. And by the way, lots of you were amongst those friends who rallied around and have helped us, and we're just so grateful to God and to all of you for the incredible help we've had this summer. It's just been a real blessing from God. So thank you, all of you out there who have been helping. But starting with a thankful heart gets my eyes off myself, gets them on to God and His blessings, and then begins to get my eyes on my neighbors and those around me as well. Who can I be a blessing to? It struck me that when we want to be a blessing to other people, some of those material things that God gives us, His provision, our health, once in a while, He takes those away. He allows those to be taken away. And that doesn't prevent us from being a blessing. Just yesterday, I had a really good conversation with a man. I was at a wedding, and someone I knew just a little bit, we were chatting. And this man was diagnosed a while ago with Parkinson's disease, and he's gradually losing some of his physical abilities. But he was talking to me about how just in the last few months, he's just got this burning desire to share his faith with people. And he told me some stories of people he'd met, and he had just arrived that day in a taxi from the airport, and he talked about sharing his faith with the Sikh taxi driver, and in the end actually being able to pray together with this man, and it was just an incredible story. But it struck me how God can take away one of His material blessings, something He's provided us with, and sometimes that turns our eyes, if we have a thankful heart, turns our eyes to those greater things He's given us, our salvation, the gift of His Son, the gift of life in Him, and we can still be an incredible blessing to other people, maybe even more when God has taken away one of those smaller blessings. So if you feel like God has taken something away from you, there may be in that a greater opportunity to be a blessing to someone else because of the eternal riches He's given you and put in you. A few other scriptures about being a blessing. This is 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 3 to 5. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. For just as the sufferings of Christ flow over into our lives, so also through Christ our comfort overflows. Even in a difficult time, when we receive comfort from the Lord, He has in mind that we're going to pass that comfort on to someone else when we see them. 1 Peter 4, 9 to 11. Offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. Each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. If anyone speaks, he should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. And Proverbs is full of scriptures that talk about us blessing other people. Proverbs 11:24 says, "One man gives freely, but gains even more. Another withholds unduly, but comes to poverty." And 11:25, "A generous man will prosper. He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed." We've talked about God. His supply is eternal. It's endless. He blesses us we bless others and then He again blesses us in return. We'll never exhaust the supply that God has for us. Proverbs 19:17. He who is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and He will reward him for what he has done. And Proverbs 22:9. A generous man will himself be blessed, for he shares his food with the poor. So that was, it's very simple, it's very powerful what God wants us to do. He's our eternal, infinite, giving, blessing God. We've received His amazing blessings, and He calls on us to be a blessing to other people. So let's just say that together. God is the blesser. I am blessed to be a blessing. Are you ready? God is the blesser. I am blessed to be a blessing. Amen.